All right, it's that time again, and I'm just now sliding into this chair in the control room at the studios of WTAN Network Radio in Clearwater. Very excited to be here today. Couldn't wait to get here today. Got so much to share with you about what God is doing and what He's doing. You know, in so many lives, there's so much going on, and I see the hand of the Lord. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and with me today on this show is just going to be one person. Just worked out that way, and it's my amazing and wonderful associate pastor, Jim Elsberry, who I absolutely cherish with all my heart. And it's not often that we do a show with just the two of us, but it just worked out that way.
Yeah, it did.
It's okay. And we, as much as we talk, PJ, Pastor Jim, as much as we have to talk about, we're okay with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That, believe me, I don't think there's going to be too much dead air today.
There won't be any dead air because I'm in here in the control room. There won't be any dead air. We got some great music on tap. I put a Facebook post on my page just a few minutes ago. I don't know if you had a chance to put that on Beacon of Hope Ministries yet, PJ, but beautiful sunset. That picture was taken last night where I was on a lake on a pontoon boat with my dear, wonderful nephew, his lovely wife, and two nieces on their boat, on their lake, and just having a wonderful, what we called a dinner cruise, which ended up being pizza, but that was fun.
And that's dinner.
It was dinner. And but the pictures, oh, gosh. If y'all just saw that on Facebook, if not, go and look at it, because the pictures of the sky last night, the sky was just the most gorgeous colors of red and orange over that lake in North Pinellas County. That's where it was. North Pinellas County. I'm trying to decide. It's not that far away, actually. But anyway, just looking at those pictures, my niece sent them to me this morning, just reminded me of the glory of God in our lives, and that someday we are going to enjoy the most beautiful skies for all eternity that we can't even begin right now to fathom how wonderful it will be to live with God and His Son Jesus throughout all eternity. I don't know about you, PJ, but I am so looking forward to that someday, and I know right now of so many people that are already there enjoying it before me. Ha. So many that have gone before us, you know? So I'll let you cough a minute, and then you can comment on that.
Yeah, I need to stop trying to breathe my water.
Oh, yeah, that always helps, yes. And so today we are continuing with our series, Precious Promises. This is actually the 9th show on that topic. We've had 9 teachings, Wednesday night services, and Sunday afternoon services here on the radio with that topic. And while I'm talking about that, we have made a decision to change our Wednesday night Bible study to a Sunday morning service. And we'll give you more details. That change will occur September 10th. And so if any of you are interested in knowing more about that, location, etc., you can just send me an email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. That's my email address, pastor@bohmglobal.com, and we'll be glad to fill you in if you're local and want to know about the Sunday morning services that will begin September 10th. Right now, between now and then, we are on Wednesday night still, and we are right now meeting where we're going to be moving from the Red Roof Inn, a really nice location, very nice, renovated in Clearwater, Florida, 3580 Almerton Road. So with that said, while I cue up the first song, talk to us, PJ.
Well, I did find that scripture we had talked about earlier.
Oh, good.
Just so you know, I have
good.
It.
All right.
Yeah, God is doing some amazing things. I mean, I look at us kind of like the Israelites in the wilderness.
Right.
We have to do what they did, and that's follow the glory of God. They followed the glory cloud in the wilderness, and you know, some people might think, well, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Well, when it was decided at the board meeting, it was like, it was, well, I don't know how to say it. It was from God.
It was definitely from God, and we were unanimous in this was what God says now to do.
Right. And yeah. And I've always believed a church needs to not get fossilized, as we used to say.
Fossilized.
Saved,
okay.
Sanctified, and solidified.
Woo!
And sometimes that can happen. But like the Israelites in the wilderness, that to me, I've always felt that's like God's pattern for the church. We need to be ready to pick up and go where God tells us
absolutely.
To go.
Absolutely.
And do what God tells us mm-hmm. to do. And I believe we're doing that.
And we're doing that.
And praise God.
We're excited.
Amen. I'm excited.
We're very excited about this change. There'll be more time for fellowship, etc. So it's really going to be a good change for us at Beacon. We've been in the ministry. Beacon of Hope Ministries began 16 plus years ago. So it's totally amazing for us to actually, we're in our 16th year. I just started adding in my head and realized I was wrong. We started September of 2001. So correction there. But it's such amazing, all the journey that we've been on, Pastor Jim. You and I have been side by side working together since about 2008, in the fall of 2008.
In September of 2008. So it's been almost 9 years.
It is. And what's interesting is we both grew up in Indiana and, well, me just for a short time and then Central America, but you from Indiana, we both went to the same university, Ball State, didn't know each other because you're a little bit younger than me, which I will admit right here, except I won't say how much. Anyway, but how God brought us together and how he does that, Pastor Jim. So often he brings the right people in your life at just the right time for the need of the moment and the hour that God is trying to do a certain thing. Amen. There are people that need to walk with us and beside us. And, if that is something that you can all relate to, there are times in our lives where we just absolutely run into somebody again, or somebody can reconnects with us on Facebook or whatever that may be. And there's a purpose usually behind that mm-hmm. if you're walking God's way here. So I'm excited about this show. We're going to talk Amen. About Jacob, and we're going to be in Genesis 28. And
For a while.
And it's, just not too long. But it's part 9 of this series, Precious Promises. And before we go to this first song, Whom Shall I Fear? I want to remind you of our Facebook post every single week that we have on the air from our Bible study. Now, when we make this change in September, I will be doing the post Wednesday night at 7:30 as usual, but from my home studio office studio, or however you want to say it. So we'll still stay with Wednesday nights at 7:30 for the Facebook post. We've gotten a lot of viewers on those Facebook posts, and they're there on all of them are on our Beacon of Hope Ministries Facebook page and on mine. So go find them and see what God's saying. This past week was hashtag, I just lost my mind there, right? What was it? Fear not.
Fear not.
Well, that just is perfect. Just leads us right into this song. Whom shall I fear? Chris Tomlin.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I
Amen.
Underneath my feet, you are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Amen. Nothing formed against us shall stand. Because he holds it all together, doesn't he? Praise God for that. I love that song, Whom Shall I Fear? And it just is a perfect lead-in to Genesis 28, and we want to set the background here just a moment. Glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life today, either live or later on through Starcom Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. So, here we are. Jacob is a twin to Esau. And we talked about the brothers a lot last week and the deception that took place, but yet the prophecy given to their mother, Rebekah, happened back in Genesis 25, where she was having trouble with her pregnancy and did not realize she was having twins. Of course, back then, no sonograms. And so she had no clue. And at least with our family, we have two sets of identical twins. We knew in the womb, which was great preparation. But she did not know. And so she goes to God in the end of Genesis 25 and says, what's going on here? You know, I'm miserable. I mean, if I have to continue like this, I'm going to die. You know, she was just so much in pain. And God gave her a prophecy in Genesis 25, and it basically said to her that two nations are in your womb. I'm going to read it. Two peoples butting heads in the Message Bible while still in your body. One people will overpower the other. The other will serve the younger. The older will serve the younger, which is exactly what happens. And so it's so cool how when God prophesies and tells us something and says it's going to go this way, it goes this way. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool, PJ? Even with our own human will, it's just when God says this is the way it's coming out like this.
Oh, amen. Amen. And even though, and I'm sure you talked about this, even though Rebekah tried to give God a helping hand.
She did, and we did talk about that last week.
He really didn't need that because it would have happened somehow anyway.
Right.
But again, we just see Romans 8:28 here. God turned it around for good, because what happens is, with all this enmity between Jacob and Esau, Jacob has to go away.
Absolutely.
And some amazing things happen to him on the way to Haran. And of course, you know, in weeks to come, we're going to talk about what happened to him while he was there. And, you know, God turned all this around, and even later on turned Esau around.
Absolutely.
You know, we'll find that out later on. You know, but again, God made this promise, and Jacob was 77 when he left. So
he's 77, which is fascinating. We talked about it Wednesday night in Bible study. He had not had a wife or children at that point. He was kind of a mama's boy, staying home and was cooking. And
he took after Grandpa Abraham.
He did, really, as far as the late in life, having children. And it's interesting because Esau, on the other hand, his twin brother, married young, more than likely, and he married several people, and they were mostly idolatrous women, right?
Right. And then he did marry some of Ishmael's daughters.
Right. Eventually, when he found out that Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah were upset about all
those
these
heathen
women.
He'd
the
married.
Heathen women, yeah. So then he tried to make it right by going and marrying a couple others. So anyway, Jacob is a bachelor. He's 77 years old. God speaks to him. And it's interesting what happens here. Because as we begin Genesis 28, Isaac, his father, calls Jacob in to bless him. So evidently, Isaac had resigned himself that even though there was this deception where he gave the blessing to Jacob instead of Esau, it had actually started when Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a meal, for a big old bowl of stew. So
lentil stew,
bean stew.
I have that in common with Jacob. I love lentils.
You love lentils. Okay. I don't know how you define lentils, but anyway, Anyway, so we get to the place where evidently Isaac and Rebekah have settled within them that, yeah, Jacob is the one to inherit the birthright. So Isaac is older, the dad, he's older. We know really that he didn't die for quite a while yet, but he did call Jacob in and he said in Genesis 28, he said, don't take a Canaanite wife, leave here, go to the family of origin, you know, your mother's family, which was Rebekah's family, and go and find a wife there. And I wanted to start the show with that song about fear, Whom Shall I Fear? Because so often, and in our Facebook post, we talked about this past Wednesday night, so often we are called to make changes in our lives, go different places, start a ministry or do something, or we face a phase in our lives where it just seems like everything's changing and we feel so like we're going to give in to panic and fear and anxiety. And yet, whom shall I fear? You know, whom? Because when God's on our side, we should not be afraid. So let's relate that to your life right now, dear friend. Because so often when life changes in some area of our lives, it's so easy to give in to fear. Do you want to talk about that, BJ?
Well, yeah. When we're called out, well, God likes to call us out of our comfort zone.
Yes, he does. He loves that.
Yeah, well, how nice for him.
Right.
You know.
But he does love that.
He does, because he knows what's best for us.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of joked about it before, but sometimes we just get all set in our ways.
We do. Yeah.
The Lord sometimes needs to come shake us up.
He does.
And kind of expand our vision, as it were. And yeah, it's scary to do. It's scary to walk where you've not walked before is probably a good way to think about it. That's why I like Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path.
Absolutely.
Staying in the word of God.
Right.
Is a way to at least see partially where you're going.
Right.
Because fear, the devil would like to use fear to keep you from moving forward. You know, God calls us to move forward. I think of the Israelites in the wilderness again. They were called to move.
Right.
And if they just said, no, and some of them did, obviously, if you've read, you know, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, they all grumbled.
Sure.
Why did you bring us here?
Right.
Why did you bring us here? And all they had to do was submit to God.
Right.
Because he still, even in their grumbling, what a wonderful God we have, even in all their grumbling, he didn't destroy the whole lot of them.
Right.
He still fed them.
Right. Yeah.
And gave them water. But they were afraid when the spies went into Canaan.
Right.
They said, oh yeah, it's a great land. Look at all this fruit we brought back. But there were giants there.
Right.
Ooh.
Right.
You know, and even Joshua said, you know, Joshua said, wait a minute. It's a good land. We can go in there. We can conquer it.
Right.
But they, you know, they were afraid. And so much of that was they had the promise of God, but it scared them, you know. And God never, sorry, I'm preaching. God doesn't give us a promise.
Right.
And then not fulfill it and give us the authority to do
Amen.
What needs to be done to fulfill it.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, he gave the Israelites the promise to take the land. I will be with you. Take courage. Do not fear. Joshua even said their shadow of protection, and I believe that was their demonic covering,
right.
is gone.
Right.
We can go in and take the land.
Right.
And yet they, you know, some of them were afraid. We can't do this. If he gives you a promise, he's going to give you the word to back it up, and
right.
the power of the Spirit to make it come to pass.
There you go. Okay, and that's why we've been teaching you and I together this series for the last several weeks, Precious Promises, because the goal is to get these promises down inside all of us, and our listeners at Bible study and on Sunday afternoon, because the more we get the promise down on the inside of us, the stronger we will be. And the more we can combat fear and anxiety. It is interesting to me here in Genesis 28 that you do not see Jacob fighting with his dad about the blessing and being sent away to a land he had never been to. To a people he did not know, even though they were his relatives. To a way to earn living that he had not was not told. Here's how you're going to earn your living, you know. And so often we face these kinds of challenges in life where it seems like that if we step out in faith, we're stepping out into like darkness. Like there's nothing. We have no certainty. This is how it's all going to unfold. This is, you're going to be fine, No, that's not what he's saying. He says in verse 3 of Genesis 28, Isaac to Jacob, and may the strong God, and I don't know which name for God he used there in Genesis 28, 3, maybe you know, PJ.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, the God Almighty of blessings, the God that is more than enough. Okay, it may this strong God, the God that is more than enough, bless you and give you many, many children. Remember, he's 77 years old and has not had a child yet. A congregation of peoples, and pass on the blessing of Abraham to your descendants, to you and your descendants, so that you will get this land in which you have, which you live. This land God gave Abraham. So even though the land was right there and they were sitting on the land, Isaac was sending Jacob away before he inherited the land.
And think of how different, it just came to my mind, think about how different that is than what happened with Isaac.
Right.
Abraham would not send Isaac
right.
away. And yet here, Isaac is going to send Jacob.
Okay, I have a theory on that.
Okay.
Okay, because Isaac stayed there. He was 60 years old when his wife came back. And you can listen to our shows. They're here on podcasts the last few weeks to catch up or go to our Facebook post. But Isaac was 60 years old, had not been married, and was out in the field and was working. And Abraham sent the servant, Eliezer, to go get the wife. And he found the right person immediately. It was Rebecca, and he brought her back. Okay. And here we see Jacob being sent away, okay? And he's gone for 20 years. All right, we did a show a Facebook post 2 weeks ago, and you can find it on Facebook. It's called hashtag measured, and it's about character development. And I propose, Pastor Jim, that the reason this was different is that God knows our differences within us. He knew that at Isaac, he shouldn't send him away. Maybe he would stay there for whatever reason. With Jacob, he needed the character development of 20 years over there in the foreign land before he came back to claim the land and his inheritance. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
I think that's right on.
I do too.
Because we know Jacob lived up to his name,
right.
which was deceiver. That's what it means.
Right.
And yet he was about to meet someone who was just as good at deception as he was.
Right. And so the character had to be built through those 20 years.
Right.
And the trust in God. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, but I want to play this song that is undoubtedly one of my favorite ones right now at this season in my life, and it is Word of God Speak, because that's what we're talking about.
Finding myself at a loss for words.
Big Daddy Weave is the group.
And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Oh, please let me stay and rest in your holiness, word of God speak. In the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, and all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, to hear your voice and word of God speak, would you pour
God, word of God speak.
It's okay.
Word of God is speaking today, and we're glad you're joining us on Living the Good Life. We're talking about Genesis 28 and Isaac and Rebecca together, really, but Isaac's direct command to Jacob to leave and go back to the home area of Rebecca and find a wife among her relatives. And we mentioned right before we did that song that Jacob was blessed. Isaac prayed over him and prayed a blessing upon him and sent him away. And he was gone actually 20 years. And during that 20 years, his character developed, which we'll talk more about that. But it's so interesting that Jacob doesn't argue. He just goes. And Isaac says, go now. And he doesn't have time to change his mind. PJ, isn't that important? Because so often when we hear the call of God, we can talk ourselves out of it.
If we don't obey swiftly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, been there,
I mean,
done that.
We all have.
And right.
We will talk ourselves out of it.
Yeah.
And,
we'll
the devil
all kinds
will come along
reasons.
And whisper and say, oh, you know, you don't have to do this right now. There's tomorrow. You can do it tomorrow. But by then tomorrow rolls around. Well, you know, you've got this and this and this you need to do. You really just put it off for
exactly.
a week.
Exactly.
you know, there's so much going on at work. You just need to put this off for a week.
Right.
And boom, after a while, you know.
Just forget about it.
Yeah. And
obedience is key to really growing in God, don't you think? I mean, obedience of getting in the Word, obedience of praying, obedience of listening to the voice of God and doing what He tells you to do. So key to our growth and development, the character development we're talking about on the show today.
Well, yeah. And I was thinking about what Kenneth Copeland said. You know, when you get stuck.
Right.
And you're just not growing. He said to look back and see, when's the last thing God told you to do that you didn't?
And I've heard him preach that concept, and it's so right on.
Because you get stuck at a point, and God wants to work something new regarding whatever it was he told you. Because again, our Christian lives are like building blocks.
Right.
God does a work so he can do the next work.
Right.
So he can do the next work.
Perfect. You're right.
And if we halt at some point, then the fullness of the work he wants to do in us is not going to happen.
Absolutely. Recently, I was in Indiana. Well, not this past trip, the trip before. And my 6-year-old grandson, Mason, and I got the Lincoln Logs out. Remember Lincoln Logs?
I used to have a set.
Oh, I did too. And we put them all over the kitchen island, and we started to build a compound. We looked at the picture and we said, we can build this, you know? And we started in, and then we would get partway and we realized, oh, wait a minute, we didn't do that. So we got to go back and fix that section. And so that we can go on. And eventually we did build it. And it was so much fun, and I love playing with Mason. He's an amazing little grandson. But when it's just like our spiritual lives, Pastor Jim, because so often we're building and we realize, whoa, I got to stop here and repent of this thing that I did wrong, because it's my building, the inside of me, my temple, is not going to grow correctly if I don't stop and repent of this and come clean and tell the truth, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
And so often, you know, we can get caught up in the process and don't notice when God is saying, wait a minute. Hey, whoa, over here. Let's talk about this. That was not cool what you just did. That's not going to make this building come together correctly that I'm building in you. Talk to me about that.
Well, and that's part of that character development.
That's too what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the life of Jacob. He's been nothing but a little
twerp,
conniving little deceiver this whole time.
Right.
I mean, unfortunately, Esau happened to stumble upon Jacob when Jacob's brewing up a lentil stew.
Right.
And Esau had been out, was famished. And yeah, I mean, Esau had issues because obviously he didn't think his birthright was all that important.
He shrugged it off, it says in the Message Bible. It wasn't important to him.
But Jacob jumped at that opportunity.
Sure.
Sure, I'll give you some food. Give me your birthright.
But PJ, doesn't the devil work like this? Okay. What you mess up. You're going along, you're building your house pretty good. And all of a sudden, you get into some situation where you've lied or cheated or had some kind of failure in your life, that moral failure, whatever. And right there, like David in Psalm 51, is where we need to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. But so often Christians just go right on justifying their behavior, justifying their attitudes, their gossip, they're stinking thinking, and they justify it, and then there begins to be wood rot, termites, in the edifice, in the building, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'd hidden sin in my heart, you know, when we do that, we can't be used.
That's right.
And sometimes I think, and I know I've thought this before, and tried to do it. But if we think, well, I'll put some distance between me and the sin.
Right.
You know, in a few days, then I'll feel like talking to God again. Unless you repent of it,
exactly.
It's still there.
It's still there. You know, it's not going anywhere.
It's still there, so you need to just get rid of it and be done with it.
God calls us to accountability. And I was going to mention this Wednesday night on the Facebook post, and I forgot, so it must be for today. You cannot have accountability to the extent that you could if you don't take any responsibility. Okay? If we don't take responsibility for our bad attitudes or our bad thoughts, and we're not going to, it works the other way too. We can't have leadership responsibility if we're not accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, it works both ways, really. We have to, like when the prophet Nathan went to David back in, I don't know, 1 Samuel, I think it is, and he said to him, wait a minute, you want to build this, but you're not, you there's something wrong here. Remember, he gave him an example, right? What would you do if this? Go ahead.
Right, it was 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel.
After he'd sinned with Bathsheba.
After Bathsheba sinned.
You know, he said, well, there was this man who had this little ewe lamb, very poor man, that's all he had, and this rich man basically stole it, and David said, well, that man needs, you know, be brought to justice for stealing it.
Right.
And Nathan just looked at him and said, you are the man.
You're the man.
And David said, you're right, I am.
And so he had to admit that he had stolen Uriah's wife and had Uriah killed and went to bed with Bathsheba, had a baby, whatever. And as a result of that, so often when God is pricking our hearts, you know, to say, wait a minute, you can't move on with me until you deal with this, right? And I think this whole process with Jacob over the 20 years shows, and we'll talk more about it next week, but it shows the process. I guess I just got to say that word again. It shows the process that God was doing in Jacob to cause him to really, really have a heart after God. But it took some time. And sometimes it does in us too.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if, you know, and sometimes God does do a quick work.
Right, absolutely.
But more often than not, I mean, especially if you look in the Bible, it's never fast. You know, it's rarely fast.
Takes
character
time.
Building and all of that, learning the lessons we need to learn, those take a while.
Absolutely. Think about when you have a granddaughter. I have multiple, almost number 12 is almost here, probably this week. Grandson. And when we think about those, like when this little baby's born, probably this week, out in Texas, my grandson, he is going to start out as a baby, not knowing anything, not having a character one way or another. And God in his wisdom allows us to be a part of growing our kids up till at least they're 18, and sometimes it seems like 25, etc. But we have a hand in that, and God has a hand in it, and he doesn't expect us to just, when this baby, is probably his name is going to be Joel, when Joel is born next week, he is not going to be able to read and write and color within the lines. Talk to me.
Well, yeah, he's...
He will be very smart, and he will be very cute. Okay. I will tell you that.
I'm sure.
I just had to throw that in.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. We start out, when we get saved, we're not like instantly fully mature.
Right.
In Jesus. That's a process.
Right.
And sometimes it can be, I hesitate to use the word painful, but sometimes it can be painful because, I know you've used this example, Pastor, that kind of like onions. You peel off one layer at a time.
Oh, yeah.
And that can hurt. But the healing that comes with it is so much better.
Absolutely.
Because once the pain, the hurt, the issues that we've tried to bury are exposed, like David, we need to just say, you're right. I am the man. I take responsibility for this.
Yeah.
And just, you know, repent of it, turn away from it, whatever it is, and ask God to First of all, take away the sin and heal the wound.
Absolutely. But it's so interesting that it works, this process works so much better when we have a revelation of God working in us. That it's not just us with our moral compass trying to get stronger and do better and quit lying and deceiving and all that. And let's look at verse 10 of Genesis 28 and see that Jacob left and he went to Haran. He went to the place where Abraham and his two brothers, had lived with their father, Terah, two brothers, and a long time ago. And he came to that certain place. Now, that certain place is a very important place, and we're going to have a name for it here in just a little while. And Jacob camped for the night there, and the sun had already set. He took one of the stones that was there, put it under his head, laid down to sleep, and he dreamed. Isn't it interesting? He steps out in faith. He leaves for a land he does not know where he's going, to a people he does not know, to find a wife that he has no idea what she looks like or where she is. And he lays down that first night, puts his head on a stone. Interesting. Isn't Jesus the cornerstone? Isn't he the stone that the builders rejected? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he puts his head on a stone and has a dream. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, he sees heaven opened, and I'm in verse 12. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it, and there above it stood the Lord.
Yeah.
Go stop right there.
Yeah.
Because Jesus used this same, I mean, this is a prophetic dream.
It is.
Because not only did he just see the stairway, but he saw the Lord
mm-hmm.
at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what an amazing thing. He saw the angels of God. I just see them running up and down the staircase.
I'm having a good time.
You know, going, like I said on Wednesday, they're going forth to do what God told him to do. We're coming back after completing a mission.
Right.
They're going, you know, back and forth. And Jesus used this analogy.
Yes.
In John chapter 1 with Nathanael.
Yes.
And I just want to read that out of John chapter 1 because.
Where Nathanael's sitting under the tree?
Sitting under the tree. And Jesus mm-hmm. says to him, well, in verse 46 of John chapter 1, you know, Philip is talking, and Nathanael, he says, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael goes, Nazareth, can anything good come out of there? And Nathanael said, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, and he said, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael, I always kind of thought maybe he's a little stuck on himself.
Yeah.
Well, how did you know me? How did you know I'm so pure? You
yeah,
know?
Right.
And Jesus answered and said, I saw you while you were sitting still under the fig tree before Philip called you.
Right.
And then Nathanael said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel.
Wow.
And Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you sitting under a fig tree? You'll see greater things than
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open.
Wow.
And the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So Jesus is the stairway.
Yes.
You know, later on in John, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the
Amen.
Life.
Amen. Good stuff.
He says, you'll see heaven
yes,
open.
Yes, yes.
And we know, you know, what an amazing thing. So Jesus went right back to this dream of Jacob.
Yeah.
And basically set himself in that dream. But then the Lord calls out to Jacob and says, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and I will give your descendants the land to which you are on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth,
mm-hmm.
and you will spread out to the east and the west, to the north and the south. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, that's the same thing he told Abraham.
Yes.
The same thing he told Isaac. He gave them the promise of the land, the promise of the blessing, that all nations will be blessed through you and your descendants.
Oh, I have found in my personal spiritual life, Pastor Jim, that over and over again through long periods of years, God gives me the same promises, the same scriptures sometimes, or sometimes it's a different scripture to confirm it, but the concept, the promise, is still the same. And I keep these in little tiny books that anybody can buy, and I write all this stuff out, and I've got years of this. And so from time to time, every few days, I'll go back and look at different passages again, because it strengthens my faith to realize God is still promising the same things he did. Mm-hmm. Therefore, that means to me, he's going to do it, because he's not just a promise maker, but a promise keeper. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus refers to this situation with Jacob, and we realize that Jesus is the connection, the stairway between heaven and earth, and he came to this earth on purpose to fulfill the will of the Father and to show us the nature of the Father. This is so beautiful. The connection right there, he's fulfilling the promises, which again says he's a promise keeper, not just a promise maker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, yeah, already by this time, and I have to go back, I have it actually ticked off in one of my other Bibles. This is about the 15th time God has made this same promise to either Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. I mean,
right.
He just keeps repeating himself, and I think sometimes we need that.
Absolutely.
We need to hear from God, because obviously Abraham heard the promise several times.
Mm-hmm.
You know he had to talk to Isaac about it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Isaac talked to Jacob about the promises that God had made. And who knows? We don't know what Jacob felt about
right.
it.
Right.
But here God speaks directly to Jacob and says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your descendants. You're going to dwell in this land. And then in verse 15, he says, I love this. I am with you to watch over you wherever you go.
Amen.
And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you.
Wow, there it is right there.
And I know, what a great promise, because I'm with you wherever you go. I'm not,
right.
And I think, and I brought this up on Wednesday, sometimes, especially back in this age, people thought their gods were more local.
Right.
Okay. You know, the God of the Canaanites, the gods of the Babylonians.
Right.
Well, the Lord spoke to Jacob and said, I'm going to go with you wherever you
wherever
go.
Wherever you go, I'm there.
I'm not confined.
I'm there.
To Isaac's tents.
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to go wherever you go.
Wherever you go.
And I will bring you back to this land.
Wow. Absolutely. There's the promise, and that's part of the series, The Precious Promises. Mm-hmm. And we want to continue to teach the concept that when God promises you something, he's going to fulfill it. We just have to do our part and stay true and believe and walk in faith. We're going to do this song we did Wednesday night, Pastor Jim, the one about open the heavens, because it's so perfect right here, don't you think? Open the heavens.
And the heavens were opened.
Woo! Here we go. Praise God. Glad you're joining us.
We've waited for this day. We gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates.
Praise God. Open up the heavens and show us yourself. Oh, God, we love you. Praise God. Praise God. I love that song. We're talking about Jacob and the first night of his journey in Genesis 28, where he's headed back to the homeland to find a wife at the direction of his father and mother. He has this amazing experience in Genesis 28 about verse 13, where the heavens open up, just like that song just said. And, you know, we want to see you, that song was talking about. And Jacob had a vision of God, and God talked to him. And so important that God did not say, well, I'll reveal myself to you maybe, I don't know, 10 years down the road. No, he gave something to Jacob to hang on to, Pastor Jim. And so often he does that with us through a word, a prophecy. Mm-hmm. Clear back in 1979 on December 3rd. So, you know, this was an extremely important date in my life, right? Shortly after I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in September of 1979, the evangelist prophet that had come to the church where I was attending and was speaking towards the end of the service said, so many of you out there know that God's speaking to you and that you have something to accomplish for him in this life. I was pretty young in 1979, I got to say. I think I was. But anyway, I won't say because that will tell you how old I am now. So anyway, but I knew I was in the back of a church that was like 450 people or more. And I went to the front of that church, of course, in those days in my dress and heels, etc. And not now. And I'm sitting in my shorts and my flip-flops right now, which is so much more comfortable. Anyway, but the point of this story is that this man came to me and laid his hands on my forehead on December 3rd, 1979, and spoke a prophetic word over my life and over what God had for me in the future that has been coming to pass now for many years. And I so often will look at that same prophetic word from 1979 and remember that moment in time, that night when I knew the hand of God was on my life and that I had some things to accomplish for him. And I determined that night to accomplish those. And I think this event, Pastor Jim, brought Jacob that same feeling I had that night. When God reveals himself to you and says, here, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Promises that were made to me in 1979. And this is what happened with Jacob. We got so much more to talk about here. Do you have a quick comment before we're getting to the top of the hour? And I didn't realize the time when I was going on and on there, but we got to do station ID here in just a second.
Yeah, but that's so true.